Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you guys. Smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight we got an extra special show for you. We got Mom from Marijuana. We're going to talk about all y'all cannabis dreams out here tonight. And we actually going to talk about real issues besides who didn't puff and who didn't pass. We're going to get way past that. Anyway, I want to hear from you, as always. So, call number 646-929-2037. Once again, I want to hear from you. We're going to talk some serious stuff tonight. Number is 646-929-2037. Also, as always, I know some of y'all are really, really shy. So if you're too shy to call, you can always break me off an email at dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you can always break me off an email if you're too shy to call at dick@smoothdrama.com. And to keep up with me and Butter and what we're doing, keep up to date with Smooth Drama and what we got going, you can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, keep up with us, see what's happening with us and what's going on. You text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. And we'll get it back to you. Matter of fact, I won't make an announcement. Tomorrow, I'm going to be hanging out with my favorite superhero homie, Danger Man. We're going to Monarch High School, talk to the kids, do some activities with the kids. If you don't know, Monarch High School is in San Diego, and it's a high school for homeless kids. So we're going to go and try to hang out, talk to kids, inspire them, and try to, you know, see what we can do to enrich their lives. So if y'all not doing nothing, tomorrow, 12:45, we shall be at Monarch High School in San Diego for all you local San Diego listeners. We'll be there trying to hang with the kids and trying to get them positivity, showing that, yeah, we adults, we care. So me and Danger Man. And if you want any details about that, you don't know where Monarch High School is or don't know what we're doing, if you want to be involved in that in any way, shape, or form, or fashion, you can email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and I will give you details. All right. So, y'all not doing nothing, you know, you're taking a half day off tomorrow, whatnot, come hang out with me and Danger Man. Hang out with the kids, cause you know we gonna do it right. We gonna have some fun tomorrow. And you know me, I love the kids. Just not all of them, but some of them, they deserve a little love. And while I'm getting love out, big shout out to my co-host Butter. Get better, Butter is still a little under the weather. For those of you who don't know, my co-host, Butter Pecan, she's not doing well health-wise, but we are sending all our love and prayers out to her, hoping she can get better so she can come back on the show and try to talk trash to me, and I can shoot her ass down. Anyway, getting started. Found out, I was reading this and it was kind of funny. I guess Britain, the TV station Virgin One, they grabbed some headlines because they sent four people into London subway at rush hour wearing nothing but handbags, briefcases, and shoes. I guess it was to promote a new 6-part documentary called The Naked Office, which follows 6 companies as they go through the typical day-to-day office issues. But what they did is they instituted Naked Fridays. So I guess I'm going to go over and track, you know, the day-to-day. And then Friday, they're asking everyone who works for the company to come in naked. Now, obviously, you're not required to, but they're asking people to show up in the nude. And the idea, according to them, is to help people to get over their fears, get the inhibitions out the way, and I guess they say it's supposed to make your work team stronger, more open, and more honest, and I guess boost productivity. And I guess what they did last year, they had a design firm in Northern England try it, where, you know, they ask people on Fridays to come in naked. And, of course, not everyone was nude, but a couple of people came in nude. Some people came in wearing just a pouch. One woman came in with underwear. And I guess after a while, most of the employees, after being a little shy early on, they stripped themselves and just were naked. And they said they had a positive effect. They said, and this is kind of crazy, they said, now that we've seen each other naked, there are no barriers. Yeah. And they said that once all that was out the way, the company improved 100%. Now, I don't know about the rest of the working folks out there. I guess it depends on where you work. But seeing a lot of my coworkers naked, it's not the move. I guess if I worked at the strip joint or whatnot, they'd be like, yeah, but I guess they're naked anyway. But the thought of a lot of my coworkers, and I'm sure some of you listeners out there, the thought of your coworkers being butt naked all day, every day, especially that guy or girl that you try to avoid in the office anyway, be kind of horrifying. Could be kind of horrifying. But hey, it worked in Britain. Maybe it'll work in America. I don't know. You know, Britain, Europe, they're a little bit different over there. I don't know if Naked Friday would go over all that well over here in America. Speaking of nakedness, good news. You know, I'm always for women's rights. And, you know, since now we're in the age of Aquarius, as I said, since we broke year 2000, it's the age of the female and femininity. So the FDA is considering the approval of female Viagra. So the women don't feel left out, because obviously we men, we have, what, 13 to 14 choices, Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, Enzyme. I mean, there's a commercial every day for men's sexuality, growth, whatever, hormone. Now they're coming out with the female Viagra, the little blue pill called Flibanserin. I guess it's supposed to be a brain drug. for women diagnosed with low sex drive. And if you take, they had studies that women who took 100 milligrams of flibin, I'm probably saying this wrong, flibanserin at bedtime every day, they said around a third of them experienced improvement in their sex life. And this is according to a survey of 1,330 participants. And this was, of course, funded by that company, and it was released by the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Now, you know, as some people say, you know, I guess it's about time you came up with a drug, but I always look at what's the worst that can happen when you come out with this. Aside from the side effects that they, of course, are not talking about, but we know are there. As a matter of fact, when they did the clinical trials, they said 15% of the women taking the drug stopped because they were experiencing nausea, headaches, dizziness, and insomnia. And somehow I'm thinking that's not going to induce feeling sexy or wanting to have sex. I'm like, maybe it might be that you and your man, y'all need a little romance or role play or something like that. I mean, erectile dysfunction is erectile dysfunction. I guess there are some people who can't, and they need that help. And this is supposed to be, it was supposed to be, supposedly started off as an antidepressant, where it was supposed to target the brain chemicals and make you feel better. But I thought that that was just sex, a little foreplay, and that would rev the woman up. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm of the opinion that you don't do that type of thing. I don't think you need drugs, and I'm thinking that this is something where it might even turn into like the new date. Well, it wouldn't be necessarily a date rape drug where it'll make you fall out, but now you have to watch your drink around the fellas, because all of a sudden you'll have a drink and you'll be feeling very warm all of a sudden. I can just see bad. And, of course, 5 years from now, they'll be talking about cancer or make your titties fall off or something. You know, all these new drugs, they always seem to, they sound good at first, and then all of a sudden, what happens? Something bad. On that note, gonna take a station identification break, and from there, we will give my homegirl Sarah a call.
Together you gotta be smooth, plumber, smooth, plumber.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama. Well, welcome back. Give my homegirl Sarah a call so we can get it started.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Thank you.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good, Dick. How are you?
I'm good. All right, now, I got to ask you, why moms from marijuana?
Why moms from marijuana?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a mom. I have two boys, and I am definitely in support of the cannabis plant. And marijuana being a nickname, you know, for the flowers.
Okay.
And I found that it's a very common belief that is shared, you know, by numerous parents and grandparents and great-grandparents all around the world.
Okay, so when you were sitting around, when did you start the organization? I mean, how did you get it all started? What made you just sitting around one day like, you know what, I'm a mom for marijuana, I'm going to start a revolution?
Well, no, I didn't plan to start a revolution or anything like that. I saw a need for education from a more appropriate venue that would be a more approachable venue, you know. So I created a MySpace page that just had information and went around requesting friends, and I also distributed literature in my local area. And then it just kind of evolved. I eventually made a web page, and then Facebook and Twitter, and just more and more support the further I went with it.
Okay, so support. How many chapters of Moms and Marijuana are there?
I believe there are 11 now. We just had one more join today. Alabama joined.
Alabama? Today. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess down there on the coast, it's real easy after you seeing all that oil down there. You make you want to smoke and take your mind off of it.
Right, that would help. Or it makes you think we need to have a different resource other than oil that can ruin our oceans like this.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's coming out where this is like the biggest ecological disaster the United States has ever had. And
yeah, it's such a tragedy.
Yeah. I mean, and they everything that they've tried still not working.
I know.
Yeah.
It's horrible to just think about it all.
Yeah. Now where are you located?
I am currently in Idaho. In Boise, Idaho.
Okay. You know, here in California, we actually have marijuana being legalized on the ballot here in November coming up.
Yes, that's very exciting.
So I have several
inquiries. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, are you involved in any of the campaign in here in California? Any of the chapters involved here?
We're not. We actually do not have a California chapter, and we've had several inquiries about it, but nobody's ever gone through with it, I guess. And Moms for Marijuana isn't itself, you know, involved with any legalization efforts. We support them, but our primary goal is education and raising awareness and creating discussion about this plan, because that's the one thing that it, society is lacking is the discussion and the, you know, debate. We need to be at least, you know, looking at this as an option for many different things.
Well, yeah, I know that's the number one thing. I mean, because a lot of people, they look at me and they say, well, Dick, why are you supporting medicinal marijuana? You don't smoke or anything like that. And I'm like, well, from what I've read, medicinal marijuana for people who have cancer is good for them. There's no side effects except they regain their appetite. You know, and also when we talk about the education, like the resources that we spend stopping people from marijuana, jailing people from marijuana crime. There's a lot of things that we can stop wasting money on, because I anticipate in November California is going to be the first state to legalize marijuana. I can't.
That would be a wonderful
that.
Thing. I see it happening as well. If not this year, soon.
Well, I mean, I'm anticipating that it's going to pass. I can't see it not passing.
Right.
Unless everybody is smoking on that day and they forget to go. You know.
Right.
I want to outline what you think that the implications are for that. Once California, if California does legalize it.
Implications, like what would happen?
What do you think? You think that that steamrolls it nationwide, it'll pick up momentum?
I think it will, just as it did with medical. I think industrial use is one that we should definitely be focusing on, you know, over recreational use, but recreational, you know, links with the medical use, and because we're talking about marijuana, not just cannabis, the, you know, hemp plant. And I think once California legalizes, then it will just spread just as it did when the medical laws came. You know, right now we've got 14 legal states plus Washington, D.C. for medical use and 14 more. You know, that's over half of the United States who are at least considering it. Yeah. And I think the same would happen with the recreational use, especially with people like moms, you know, and parents and standing up saying we need a safer choice than alcohol and tobacco.
Right. Well, yeah, because I was going to say what the provisions, what I read was that it was going to go the way of alcohol where you had to be 21. And I'm sure they're going to, I don't know if they're going to hold the whole driving while what the intoxication level will be with that.
Right. Well, anybody who is too inebriated to pass even one of those walking tests that they give, you know, for alcohol, it definitely shouldn't be driving. And that is definitely something that they should focus on is, you know, making sure our roads are safe from intoxicated people and not, you know, any drug, not just marijuana or alcohol, but, you know, prescription narcotics and even the psychiatric meds that some people get on will alter, you know, their level of consciousness.
Well, that was actually my second point on the legalization issue, because I think that people who, you know, they pushed in toward all these drugs, and I'm reading the side of these drugs, and I'm like, shit, that's, and you know, for depression, you know, this, you take this drug, and it may cause psychotic nightmare breaks. And, I mean, I believe it was Xanax. I was just sitting up watching the commercial, and they're talking about if you have psychotic dreams, stop using it. I'm like,
right. And half the time, you know, you start having to take another prescription drug to counteract those side effects from the first prescription drug you were taking.
Right.
And you know, that's not good.
Yeah, I'm like, just smoke some weed and put in Cat Williams and laugh and eat. I've never understood why it took this long for marijuana to even be considered being legalized. You know, it baffles my mind. You know,
it does. I believe it's fear. You know, fear that's been passed down from generation to generation, and we need to end that because there's nothing to be scared of.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, when you say fear, if we look back historically, what, isn't that how the Native Americans saw their problem? They passed the peace pipe?
Right.
Yeah. You know, we bring peace. I've yet to hear of, you know, the people smoking weed and they getting into these massive fights and, you know, driving while weeded out and they're killing passerbys on the sidewalk because they drove erratically. They just get hungry and eat some Cheetos.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to look at the history to see the fear that people have and the, you know, propaganda that's been put out and the lies that have been passed down. Who wouldn't be afraid of a drug that could do all the things that they said that it could do? It would be, you know, and a terrible insanity and makes you kill people and kills your brain cells and, you know, lower sperm count. And
I'll go ask you that.
Breath.
why do you think that we got such a bad label? What do you think the origin is of that?
Well, looking at the history of it and what we, you know, see now, hindsight's 2020, and we can see where it came from. You know, it came from the propaganda put in William Randolph Hearst and with Harry Dan Slinger, you know, who was the first dirt star, and everything he said about it, all the way up to, you know, it killing brain cells, and if you smoke this, you're going to be hooked on heroin for the rest of your life, you know. They just push fear and, you know, be afraid of this through our schools and into our homes through the television, and it's very clear where the fear comes from. And,
yeah.
You know, the point is to change that miseducation that, you know, it doesn't kill anybody, it doesn't make you crazy, it doesn't cause you to get schizophrenia, and it's actually a very good thing for the human body, and it helps people think, I think, more rationally. You know, I think that people are able to calm down and take a second perspective of what they're doing and saying. And that's just, you know, through my observations of meeting people who smoke weed. I've never been afraid of anybody who smokes weed. You know,
once
they're not smoking.
I was gonna say this though, and I think when people talk about, yeah, there's side effects, and yeah, I understand that side effects, but I mean, as we all know, if you don't know, I will enlighten you. If you drink too much water, you can die. I mean, too much of anything can kill you. You know, I mean, so it's basically whether or not you have an addictive personality as opposed to looking at the drug. I mean, as we know, cocaine is used for operations. Like, if you have a broken nose, they put the cocaine to it's a painkiller.
Right, and there are lots of drugs that are used, you know, medically that we can't buy recreationally.
Right.
And when you compare them and you see, you know, you can overdose on water, as you said. You could eat, you know, yourself to death. You could do lots of different things that could kill you, but it is physically impossible to smoke too much pot. I mean, you would have to consume such a large amount in such a short amount of time, you can't do it. Your body, you know, you go to sleep and your blood stops absorbing it, and there's all sorts of information floating around out there about that.
Yeah, you probably start laughing so much that couldn't even light anyway.
Well, laughter's the best medicine. It can do anything.
Now I was going to ask you, politically speaking, I hear that, I read that you guys have an official stance against Obama's nomination of Michelle Leonhardt for DAA director?
Well, Moms for Marijuana doesn't take a political stance. We pass on information, and we, you know, put information that other people have already done the really hard work to find, you know, and we help promote it, and we help get it out there, and that came out through the NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and, we just promote anything that has to do with cannabis. Just like when President Obama was talking about cannabis at his town hall, because so many people, you know, asked, why can't it be legal? Why don't we look at that option? And he laughed, and he didn't answer the question. You know, he doesn't have a, and he said, no, you know, he didn't explain why, and he didn't give reasons, and we posted that everywhere as well. We're just kind of a middleman. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand the middleman. You know, you're a disseminator of news and information.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
We feel that, you know, politics is a very personal choice, and we try to present all the information out there and the different stances from both sides. Not all of it's on our website, but we try to link to the places that it is so that people can find it by going through us.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. When you talk about politics, a lot of politics is misinformation anyway.
Yes. Yeah. And we want people to be able to make an educated decision, no matter what decision they're making. As long as it has to do with cannabis, we're going to try to present both sides.
You know, I think that's funny, though, the fact that the state that will be the first to legalize it has no mind for marijuana chaplain.
I know. I think it's really interesting. But what I figure is that there's so many, you know, brave people working there, and they're all, that's another thing that Moms for Marijuana is, you know, we're all doing our own thing in our own way, and we're just, you know, average people having our families, and this is done in our spare time. And a lot of people, I think, that, you know, they're already busy. They've already got their hands full and haven't really found the right person yet for the California chapter. But if anybody's interested, they, you know, can definitely contact us.
Okay. Well, now, you know, speaking of legalization, you know, earlier this year, South America, you know, including Mexico, they legalized pretty much all drugs. They said so long as you have a certain amount on your person, it's not illegal. You won't get arrested.
Right, and that has nothing to do with drugs. That has to do with the violence, you know, that's going on down there and trying to decrease that. That's where, you know, like, law enforcement against prohibition has their stance of legalizing all drugs just to get rid of that violence and get the drugs off the streets to, you know, kind of get rid of the black market that's there that's creating the money and the violence that's not helping our communities. I think that's definitely something to talk about.
Well, I mean, but and that was my thing when I was talking about it earlier. I think that if you legalize marijuana, one, you get a whole bunch of people that have been locked up who's not violent. You know, they just wanted to buy some weed. I think that can be nothing but good, you know, because you're taking away valuable resources to fight something that's not lethal. Now, obviously, there are some strains. I know that there are people who add things to marijuana, and I think that part of the black market is the part that should go away. You know, hopefully, you know, being that you can grow it and you can sell it in the store, whatnot. And this is where you fall into this problem where the government gets involved and government inspectors and all that. So you'll have people that are saying, okay, you just bring more government into our lives. Do you think that could be a detriment toward the movement?
I think it could be a detriment. But you have to look at, you know, alcohol and tobacco, and a lot of those are already run through the states. You know, they're controlled. Here in Idaho, it's kind of, you have to pay for your license and then be approved, you know, and you could not get your license for alcohol. But I think it would all depend on the states and leave it up to the states and not have it be a federal government thing. You know, they've got bigger issues to deal with than a bunch of people smoking pot.
Yeah, but as we know, if there's money to be had, somebody from Uncle Sam's family tree is going to come. I'm going to call him. We all know this. It's one of those unwritten rules that, yeah, in theory, I mean, because obviously it being legalized they're gonna it's gonna be like you have to get a liquor license. Obviously.
Yeah.
So you're probably gonna have to have the weed license. And then it's probably gonna be some outrageous fee to keep the common man out so that people who are government approved, whatnot, will be the only ones who will be able to sell it. It's sort of like farmers. You don't have regular farmers nowadays. I couldn't start a farm. Just like I'm thinking that if I had some property, I probably couldn't just start a weed farm.
And that is the greed, you know, and the corruptness of government. I think it's a completely separate issue. You know, what really matters is to have it available. And then when you, how you regulate it becomes a separate issue, you know, is the fact that we need to make it available and be discussing things like that and trying to figure out the best way to go about it, keep, you know, out of the hands of our kids and keep it, you know, from being this massive thing where everybody's growing pot and making a lot of money off of it and the government wants their share. You know, that's separate from what the cannabis plant does. And that's what we focus on primarily is, you know, this is a plant that we should have learned about in school. And we learned a little about hemp, but we didn't learn all these things in the history of this plant. And, you know, it's something that only needs to be taught as a renewable resource that we do have. I think, you know, I guess vote, if you're going to vote for it to be legal, we need to do it now.
Yeah, but then you'll have people saying, well, we didn't really learn anything in school about alcohol or cigarettes.
Right, which we should as well. We need to be learning about all the drugs that are out there and the risks and the benefits of each and what the... That way we can make educated decisions when that, you know, issue arises in our lives.
Well, I've always felt that here in this country, it's not about education, it's about indoctrination and memorization. We're not trying to educate anybody on anything.
And then, you know, that's one of the reasons I homeschool my children is I didn't want them to just, you know, here, learn how to spell this and then forget it in a month. It's, you know, keep working on it until you learn it and then be able to use it later on in life. And then, you know, our schools, we have many issues that need to be discussed in this country, and we focus, you know, on some of this, and there are others focus on the other one, but I think all of them need to be addressed.
Yeah, well, now you bring up your homeschooling your kids, whatnot. Now, and this is one of the sensitive issues where people ask, so what is the conversation about pot in the household?
In my household? We have discussed various drugs already. I mean, I have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. We've discussed everything from methamphetamines to alcohol to cigarettes, you know, and marijuana included. We've also talked about the industrial benefits. That's the one we promote the most, you know, the things that it could do for our planet and the things that it could do for us as a society, mainly because I'm such an advocate for it, you know. In any other home, that probably wouldn't be discussed as much, I guess. It, you know, but my kids know, you know, that it's a drug, and you don't do drugs. Drugs are not good, you know, especially as a child, you know. It's an adult decision to make, just as with alcohol and, you know, any drug. What you get into your body once you're grown up is your choice, but you have to at least know the risks that you're taking. And that's what we discuss when it comes to the drug, marijuana.
Okay, now I read something where there was a little research where they were saying that marijuana can help improve the quality of life of kids with autism.
Yes, that's an amazing story. You know, they're popping up all around the country, these moms who say, marijuana saved my son's life, and, you know, it's been an extreme case of autism. They are, you know, dying, and it really did go in and aid them and give them a better quality of life. And you know, that's definitely something that needs to be researched more. And that's the biggest thing, is the lack of research in this country. We need to be spending this money that we're spending to house all these nonviolent offenders and treat criminals and spend it on the potential, you know, drugs and therapies and treatments that we could have for conditions like autism and cancer and, you know, who cared when they wanted that they just learn more about it. The research needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, of course, they do a little research, they'll release a little bit here and there, but I think that that main issue goes back to what I was talking about earlier, how they're going to, of course, want to capitalize on it. You know, obviously, there's money to be made, there's tax money to be made, and I think that is the number one issue. More than the whole education and making pot legal so it can help people medicinally or whatnot. I think that's far from politicians or the government.
Yes.
Number one deal.
They don't care about me and my illness and my children and my family. They care about money. You're very correct with that. And, you know, it's very obvious to their actions and etc., which is why we focus on educating, you know, the people. We're not trying to educate the politicians. That's what the lobbyists are for. You know, they're out there doing that. We're strictly family, I guess. we get into a discussion in the home, and you know, give parents a little to bring it up to their kids and say, you know, this is drug, and there's all this controversy about it, and a lot of people say it's a really good thing, and a lot of people say a really bad thing, and I want to discuss with you what you think and tell you what I think. And that's the biggest thing, you know, is educating the future generation so that we can make the changes that are necessary to continue our society.
That's the number one thing. I mean, it's the reason why I've been behind it. I've been behind medicinal marijuana and marijuana being legalized because I think that you can take the people hiding. I mean, coworkers, you know, majority of the people I know, they smoke weed, but they gotta hide it because obviously, you know, drug tests at work or just the whole shun or you're doing something terrible. And I'm like, well, you know, these other folks are alcoholics. I mean, alcoholic, weed heads, I look at it all as the same. You're over-consuming.
Yes, and abuse of a drug has absolutely nothing to do with the drug itself.
Right.
You know, like you were saying, it's the addictive personality that it's a problem there, and that's what helps me, not, you know, with a drug. And locking somebody up for being an addict isn't going to help anyone, you know. It's going to give them access to other criminals and teach them how to do criminal things. We need to be rehabilitating the people, the addicts, you know, and not making them criminals.
All right. I got to beef with you. I got a major beef with you. You want to know what it is?
Sure.
Where's the Monster Marijuana theme song?
The what?
The Monster Marijuana theme song. Y'all couldn't get Snoop Dogg, Redman, Method Man, all these rappers that smoke weed. Y'all can't get a Monster Marijuana theme song video song?
Well, you know, we would love one. I am not musically inclined, but and I don't know any of, you know, the musicians, so I guess that's why we don't have one.
All right.
Someone's allowed to make one.
I'm going to have to holler at somebody. Y'all, you can't be a great organization without a theme song, a video, something.
Well, sure. I'd love that. I think everybody would love that.
All right.
At this point, no one's approached us.
So, if anybody listening out there, you want Mom for Marijuana, they need a theme song. They need a theme video. Something. We gonna get you one. That is our school drama pledge to you. We gonna get you a theme song.
Well, that would definitely be awesome.
All right. Cause I turned on it and I kept waiting on the theme song to come on. It didn't happen. I was looking for the video where you're bouncing in the video. Everybody's out there bouncing. You know, and something.
That would be wonderful.
I'm just saying, though, you know, you gotta consider that. I know they bounce up in Idaho too, and you got 11 chapters. I know they bounce in Alabama. I know they bounce in Colorado. I mean, it could be something mellow, just, you know, mellow, laid back. Yeah. I'm working on it.
Keep me updated.
I'm going to call my sources. We're gonna get it put together.
All right.
So, speaking of Alabama, we get back, change the course a little bit. You know, we talked about that, the Gulf Coast and the tragedy and whatnot. And I don't think people are taking this as seriously as they should.
Well, I think the biggest problem, you know, we have is that we don't know what's really going on. We don't have access to it. We don't have, you know, they say they give us estimates and stuff, but they don't actually really know what's going on. And that's what we need to figure out before we can fix anything.
Well, I'm like, it's been a month. Oil has been shooting out continuously for a month into the water. 3 weeks ago, they said that it was an oil slick the size of the state of Delaware.
Right.
But it's like 3 weeks ago. So what is the size now? Is it the size of Louisiana?
It's unfathomable what damage this is causing to our planet. It's, you know, what it's doing to the ecosystem down there. And it could potentially, you know, spread into an ocean current and be spread anywhere. You know, only time will tell what this has done to our world.
Wow.
And we need to get fixing it quickly.
Well, as a Louisiana native, you know, it's tough for me to think about our beach was closed when I was living there as a teenager. So I can imagine how toxic it is and everything that they've talked about trying not work.
Right.
Everything.
I definitely like the idea about the hemp herds.
Well,
using hemp herds to help because it's most absorbent fiber. But, you know, even still, you know, we've got to know, you know, have access to it. And BP is not allowing the access. The federal government's, you know, trying to get involved, but they have their own way of doing things. And we just need as many people as possible down there helping and figuring this out. At least that's my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I'm agreeing with you 500%. Also, I heard, you know, not only the hemp, but I also heard that hair, they were making hair mats in that, could suck up the oil, and they were asking human hair, cat hair, as long as it's clean, you know, animal hair, that if you use that, it could help with the cleanup process also. So I guess what I'm asking is, you know, people out there listening, if you got some hair on your body, you want to get you trimming your hair, your goatee, mustache, chest hair, arm hair, any other hair you want to donate, there's a place for it. We need to start a drive.
Hey,
people care. I mean, if they can do it in Jackass to Snoop the homie, donate your cube to save the environment.
Oh, yeah.
Just thought. You know, I mean, if you're shaving it anyway, and you're just throwing it away when, hey, the environment is on the line. All you people who like crab, shrimp, all this seafood, whatnot, that's going to be going away if this keeps filling.
Well, you definitely let us know when you know where to drop that hair off at.
I do have the information on that, and I will send it out to you because there's a website, actually. It's the Matter of Trust program, hair mat information, and you can actually, you can box up your hair in, I guess, pick up hair from everywhere else, and you can send it, you tape it up and send it to them, and it will go towards cleaning up the oil.
Wow.
See, that's staying green, black, brown, blonde, whatever color your hair is. Helping the environment.
Yes. Send up your hair. That's just a crazy idea. I want to put on work. I missed it. See how that turns out.
Hey, I thought about it and I was like, you know what, I'm starting to smooth out my hair dry. I'm gonna go to the hair salon, and I'm telling them, hey, you got some hair? Instead of sweeping it up and throwing it away, put it in this box.
That's good.
Me and a couple of homies, we can just come pick it up. And I mean, it's not like hair weighs anything, so sending it off should be really cheap.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not sure what shipping cost would be, and if, you know, that qualifies under something that you have to port.
Yeah.
Their contents.
I'm desperate here. Anything I can do to help, because
yeah.
Lord knows, BP.
BP.
Yeah, I don't know what BP stands for, but it's nothing good. But police, I don't know. They, you know, what they're doing, and everybody passing the buck, the blame, oh, it's such and such fault, it's their fault.
Blame happens, yeah. It's something, you know, we definitely need to be on them to get more access to it and figure
now,
it out.
Now, getting back to, because like I said, here in California, we have a November date. You know, I want to holler back at you. I want to keep talking about this issue. I mean, I have no real personal stake except for I think that it's the right thing to do to pass this law. And as a registered voter, a real registered voter who actually votes, I hope to lead a charge to get people to register and actually vote in this November's ballot initiative. As we've got a few other ones that are basically garbage, but that's my personal opinion, and we'll talk about that on another episode of Smooth Drama. But I think this is something that hopefully me and you can talk about again and others, and we can get others involved in registering and getting other people to register so that this law can get passed. I think it's
definitely
way past due.
We will definitely put a way to register up on our website for California and put some information up about that. voting is definitely a thing we need to.
I'm like, California, stand up. West Side, where you at? Can we get a mom from America? See, I would, but I'm not a mom.
You don't have to be a mom.
I don't have to be a mom?
No, and that's the greatest thing is that Moms for Marijuana is not just about the moms. It's about anybody who's concerned with the future generations and what, cannabis could do for us. And we do need to stand up and speak up and vote. That's definitely one of the biggest things is vote. Write your representatives, write the president, call him even, all that information's on our website as well. But use your voice. You have one for a reason. And, there's a great quote out there. The day our world begins to end is the day we stop or we're being silent about things that matter. I believe it's Martin Luther King. It still applies today. This matters, and we need to be speaking out about it.
Yeah, most definitely we do. I think people are caught up in everything but the right thing.
Right.
This is definitely a serious issue, because I think people are thinking, marijuana, and then all of a sudden we'll have marijuana smokers on every corner.
You know what? We already have marijuana smokers on every corner. At least we can make it beneficial for our society.
Yeah.
There are people that are smoking pot, and they're not going to stop. And whether or not it's legal,
I got a neighbor who does that very thing. Every
right.
Man, his ass is out smoking.
They talk about, your neighbor, if he went out, smoked, and drove his car, that's what people are worried about. He's, everybody's going to be turning around stoned. Everybody's going to be stoned. everybody already eats. And there's no changing it. Marijuana's been illegal technically since the 30s, and nothing has changed except more people are in prison and more people's lives are being ruined, more families are being destroyed. The drug problem is not changing. Marijuana use and abuse is not changing, and we need to seriously rethink our tactics.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. With that, we're getting short to our time. I want to thank you for coming on, and definitely look forward to speaking with you again about this issue, because, like I said, it's coming on in November. It's going to be on the ballot, and I think this is something that needs to be discussed. Seriously.
Yes, definitely. Anytime. Thank you.
All right.
It's been great.
All right, well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Don't be a stranger. If something on your mind, something you want to talk about, something you want to announce, I'm your friend right here.
Well, definitely. Thank you.
All right. Well, you have a good night. And I'm sure we'll speak again.
Yeah.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye. All right. I was there with Mom for Marijuana. Oh, a lot of good information. A lot of people going back and forth on both sides, yay or nay. But the bottom line is we need to talk about it. This is something that we need an open discussion on. An open and honest discussion on. Y'all know me. I'll talk about anything. So long as there's some educational benefit. And if there isn't any educational benefit to talking about it, it's because I think there's something retarded and wrong with it. And on that note, I want to say goodnight to everybody. Thank you for listening in. I'm Dick Hugger. It's Smooth Drama. And I'm out. We'll be right back.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.